Welcome to Goals Question Time, where I interview leading executives driving innovation, venturing, and strategic change.
Do subscribe to our podcasts on iTunes, and please do give us a 5-star like and share with your colleagues. Thank you.
So today for Goals Question Time, I'm with Andrew Thornton, who's the CEO of Sparker Legal, and I'm in his chambers in London. Hi, Andrew.
Hi, Andrew. Nice to meet you.
Good to meet you. So could you give us a brief introduction to yourself first, please?
Sure. So I essentially have two roles. My day-to-day job is practicing as a barrister at Erskine Chambers, which is a corporate law specialist chambers, and my day-to-day work involves mainly advising on public company takeovers and related matters. But over the last 15 years, I've heavily invested in startups. Most notably, I was a seed investor and a director of SwiftKey, which was the predictive keyboard acquired by Microsoft in 2015, and I sit on a range of startup boards. In the legal sector, I've been involved with the founding of 4 companies. The first one was, rather bizarrely given what we're doing today, a legal podcasting service called CPDcast, where we provided training to barristers and solicitors by 30-minute question and answer podcasts. We launched that in 2008 and sold it to Informa PLC in 2010. In 2016, we launched a company called FromCounsel.com, and that it provides a premium corporate law knowledge service to law firms and in-house counsel. Commercial launch was, I think, November 2016, and since then we've signed up 70 of the leading 100 law firms in the UK, including all the Magic Circle law firms and most US firms with a London presence. The second current business in the legal sector we have is called Juriosity, so Curiosity but with a J, and that is a directory and knowledge sharing platform which we have joint ventured with the Bar Council of England and Wales to launch. At the moment, about half the barristers in the UK use that service, and we're currently expanding it out to in-house lawyers and law firms. And then last but not least is Sparker, which launches, I think, later this week, and that is aimed at providing businesses with accessible legal guidance so that they can undertake many of the legal tasks they need to undertake themselves rather than going to a lawyer or an accountant or relying on a Google search.
So great to see a breadth and depth of experience and a lot of change and innovation there over the years. So why so many businesses in the legal sector, and what's the common theme that you're now driving?
I think the common theme is really accessibility. It's always seemed to us that in an ideal world, a lawyer seeking legal guidance or a business seeking legal advice would be able to go along to a vault or a guru or something of that nature and ask the question and be given an answer that is not only up to date and correct but is capable of being actioned by them. So the answer that would be given would be different to, say, a partner in a Magic Circle law firm to the answer that would be given to a small business person. But the key would be that the answer they would give them would help them do whatever they have to do, whether that is if you're the partner in Magic Circle law firm to go and advise a client, if you're the business person to produce the document or take the course of action that you need to take. Linked to this idea is the concept that when somebody has a legal question, there will be someone out there who either knows the answer to that question or is best placed to work out what the answer to that question is. But in the current market, it's very difficult, very unlikely that the person with the question is going to go and ask the right person. It would be really just a question of chance. You don't necessarily know who the relevant person is. And it seems to me that we can get huge savings of time and cost if it was possible either for the person with the question to have direct access to the person who has the answer, or even better, for all of the answers to be pulled together up front so that they can be accessed through some sort of electronic search or something like that. So everything we're doing is loosely based on that premise that people should be able to access the best possible answer to the legal issue they face, whether the person with the question is an experienced lawyer looking for advice in relation to an intricate area of law, or a business person seeking guidance on a commercial issue they face. And allied to that, both From Counsel and Spark Legal are based on a Q&A style. We adopted this as we discovered when building CPDcast, the podcasting business, that question and answer was a really great way of consuming legal information. It's much easier to read a short question and answer, which is directly relevant to what you're seeking to achieve, rather than a long chapter. And that's particularly the case when you're consuming the information on a screen rather than on a page. And ultimately, we realise that whenever we do legal research, we're doing it with a view to answering a question. So why not structure the information to reflect the task that the person that's seeking the information is seeking to achieve? So when we launched From Counsel, and as we launched Sparker, we provide detailed guidance in a Q&A form with then how to do it guides and automated document generation services from councils aimed at the premium end of the market, so providing information to lawyers who will then provide it or apply it to advise a client, and then Sparker Legal, which is much more a direct interaction between us and the underlying client. So we put the information in a different way. It's first person rather than third person and so forth. But underlying that is a belief that a smart business person, given the right information and tools, ought to be able to undertake lots of tasks they would regard as legal to a standard equivalent to the standard that most lawyers could achieve. So it's about a sort of accessibility and empowerment.
Great. Good introduction there. And I think this Q&A sort of style, I think, really aligns well with the sort of things that I see in working with the startups and ventures that I deal with. The entrepreneurs say, yeah, now I've got a question about employment and contracts in that space. Now I need the answer. I don't want to go off in a lot of ways to be able to do that. So why and when and how did you start Sparker then to address this?
So the team that sits behind Sparker has experience both of practicing law but also running businesses, both large and small. And we felt that technology ought to create opportunities to source legal guidance in a way and at a cost not previously possible. So, and I think we're not giving away too much today, but we're both old enough to remember the pre-internet age. And before Google and so forth, if you were a lawyer looking for legal information, you really had two options. You would go and speak to somebody who knew, so one of your colleagues possibly, or you went down to the library and you got a textbook out and you looked for the answer. If you were a business seeking legal information, highly unlikely. I mean, there were books out there for small businesses, and in principle you could go and buy a legal textbook. That's not what would happen in reality. So companies were rather faced with the only option of doing something without any advice, or going and speaking to somebody who they thought might help them, so a lawyer, an accountant, or just somebody they knew who they thought might have the relevant experience. What the development of the online world has brought is a third option, which is trying to source the information online. However, if you simply do a Google search and come across what appears to be relevant information, you're still not sure whether it's right, whether it's up to date, and whether you can really rely on it. You're still sort of taking a risk if you just do a Google search. And what often happens is the information you'll find online, some of it's very good. So, for example, the government website on guidance to EIS relief and so forth is actually very good. But if you go onto the internet and do a search for an HR issue, you may well find a note from a law firm. But they tend to take the form of something that's what I describe as a teaser document. So it will identify that you will probably have an issue, but it won't tell you how to solve it, because the whole purpose of putting the article up is to try and persuade you to go and consume their legal services at an hourly rate. And I think the hourly rate is important. It seems to me, having run a number of small businesses, that the hourly rate system, I can absolutely understand as a lawyer why it's there. But it means that cash flow uncertainty can be pretty awful for an underlying client. You just really don't know what your legal expenses are going to be over a month, over a year, and so forth, and that's unattractive. So I think the one of the things we're trying to do with Sparker is move more towards a subscription model where you can access the legal information you require up to a certain point, because there will always be a situation where you need to go and get bespoke advice from an experienced lawyer. But quite a lot of the tasks at the moment you're faced with going to a lawyer could be done yourself and could be done by way of a subscription. And that could be a subscription for the current service, which is to access the Q&A and the documents and the guidance. But in due course, to move to a situation where for simple queries, you can speak to somebody at the end of the telephone or by email who can answer further questions you may have within a subscription model.
Yeah, I think that change in the model, I think, is so important, again, from being on the customer sort of side of it. When you don't understand what the process is and you get a quote and there's always that plus extras, it really becomes an issue. And that then, when even for doing a standard document, you don't necessarily know what the sort of risk of the costs are.
Yeah, and I think that's right. And I think the other point is that quite often when you go and see a lawyer, you may well find that the person you're interacting with doesn't know the area that he or she is dealing with that well, so they will have to go off and do a bit of research and so forth, which generally speaking you'll be charged for. What you really want to do is to know that when you use a lawyer, you're using somebody that does know the area and either knows the answer or ought to be able to arrive at the answer very quickly, so that you're paying the right money for the service you're getting. Yeah. And what it's not done is padded with someone's research time.
Good. So that brings us well on to the team behind Sparker and that then. Who's the team behind the building the platform and the knowledge?
Well, I'll start with the board. So the board, apart from me, there are four people sitting on the board. So on the legal side, my colleague Michael Todd QC, so he's a leading corporate law silk, and also was head of the Bar Council about 3 years ago. Our chairman is Mark Patterson, so his background, again, qualified as a lawyer but didn't really practice. He went to work for Orange, the telecoms company, very early on, became its general counsel and stayed there right the way through to its eventual flotation. And subsequently, Mark became the chairman of SwiftKey, as I mentioned earlier, the keyboard prediction company, and that's where I met him. He was the chairman of that company for about 5 or 6 years, from recollection. Another Orange connection, Richard Brennan. Richard was one of the founding executives of Orange, and he sits on our board. His expertise is really in marketing. And then last but not least is George Roberts, who day-to-day is our COO, and George and I worked together as part of the founding team of CPDcast several years ago. On top of that, the day-to-day business is run by a content team and a tech team. Our content team consists of about a dozen lawyers, some of them barristers and some of them are solicitors, drawn from leading chambers and law firms. They are really people that have bought into some of the concepts behind what we're trying to do. And they range in age. We've got, at one end, we've got former head of corporate in a city law firm, and then we've got some young barristers who have jumped, having practiced for a few years and want to do something a little bit different. And we currently have a tech team of eight who work across our various platforms, but they were responsible for building the Sparker legal platform. They have a mixed range of experience, including some machine learning and AI experience.
Great. And what areas do you cover?
Well, the way we put Sparker Legal together is to look at really what we describe as the life cycle of a business. So from pre-incorporation issues right through to exit. So we started by looking at, well, if you're starting a business, what legal form do you want to take? Do you want to be to just run it as a sole trader? Do you want to run it as a company? If it's a company, is it a public company? Is it a private company? Is it maybe an LLP? So we guide people through that process. Then when they've made the decision what to do, we can help them as to how they go through the formation process, how they start to employ people, how they appoint directors, what they might do to protect their IP, what their website terms may look like, what happens when somebody doesn't pay them, what happens when they get an approach from a VC for funding. So we take all of the issues that you might encounter, and we sort of figure it. I always sort of envision it as a sort of a minefield. So you start a business, there's all this regulation that affects tax you, you need to require VAT registration. If you're playing a radio in the premises, you need to be licensed, all this sort of stuff. And try and ensure that people can sort of navigate that minefield without falling into any of the holes, so that, number one, they're not, the development of the business isn't dragged back by failure to follow legal requirements. And if things go well and, you know, they're doing due diligence for a, you know, an equity investment or on a sale, that there aren't any horrible issues lying in their history that is going to impact upon their ability to close the round or close a sale, or indeed the price that's paid. So ultimately what we're trying to do is help companies to build their businesses in a way that navigates the legal and regulatory system that that we all face.
And what's the scale of the service at the moment?
Well, in terms of the Q&A, I think it's sort of just over 1 million words of guidance. We have, I think, 265 automated documents on the system at the moment. That's likely to double in the next 3 months. And then for each of the tasks you have to undertake, so if that is incorporating a company or buying back your shares or allotting shares, we have a step-by-step guidance document, so it helps you through it. So the idea being, when you've decided you want to issue some shares, we work you through the process, and at various points say, well, you need to produce director's minutes or return of allotments to company's house, and you can open that up in the document automation system and produce it. And it's the same throughout the various areas that I talked about a moment ago.
And is this just a document repository, or have you got staff who can do online chats, have phone calls, be able to help to guide you, and that, to get that balance between the people and the tech sort of interaction?
So at the moment, we offer purely the online element. So the way I often think about this is that, again, I think of this, I like to visualise things, a scale of 0 to 100. 0 is where you get the lawyer to do everything, and 100 is where you do everything yourself. And what we've tried to do by putting in the Q&A is to enable business people to do 60 to 70% of the stuff themselves, at which point they might need to go and get some bespoke advice. We differ from some of the other services out there that contain what I describe as teaser information, where they'll give you a very, very broad brush introduction, covering maybe up to 25 to 30% of what you could do, and then send you off to a lawyer with, you know, free hour and so forth. The long-term vision for the business is that we will provide the second part of it too, so that in due course, if you do have further requirements, you can speak to one of our team who can then give you that advice. At the moment, we will send you off to a recommended law firm if you get to that point. But the key point is we're trying to empower people to do things themselves. So it's not a case of here's some basic guidance and here's some lawyers we recommend it. We think you can do a lot of this yourselves if you follow our guidance through. And then, as I say, in due course, we will provide that last 30%. But at this stage, it is the guidance and the notes and the document automation.
And where are you in your stages now to launch and having this widely available?
So we're actually launching at the start of next week. So we've been
so
in.
So that's in February.
That's in February. So early February. So we have been undertaking a beta test for the last about 4 months. So we've had about 200 companies testing it. We've got a broad range. So we've got from some very small companies, for startups, to individuals within FTSE 100 companies and some of the leading private tech giants. On launch, we have agreed partnerships with some of the leading challenger banks and service office providers to roll out the service to all of their existing customers. And we're really excited to have secured some of those deals.
And what's the business model in terms of costs?
So it's a subscription service, and there's two ways of doing it. Either it's £25 plus VAT per month on a rolling basis, so you don't have to. There's no minimum sign-up period, so you can come in and use it for a month. If you dislike it, you can terminate the relationship at that stage. Alternatively, you can buy an annual license for £240, and that gives you access to all of the Q&A, all of the documents, and all of the guidance.
And in terms of you as a startup, how have you funded the venture so far?
So we've been self-funded to date, as with from Council and Juriosity. We've got a very supportive shareholder base, a mixture of members of the bar and our other the other people involved. So Mark and Richard, who are involved, and others have put money in. We anticipate that being the case through to the end of phase one of the business, and we'll probably look to do a Series A round towards the end of 2019.
And what are you seeing as the different sort of requirements for different companies? So large corporates, SMEs, new ventures, because that'll have an impact on the service and the pricing.
I think there are two aspects to that. I think firstly, they're all broadly looking for the same thing. So they're all looking to find the right information quickly, if I put it like that. But they look for the information in different forms. So depending upon the sophistication of the user, they may well want to have a very detailed summary of the legal issue and things that they need to think about when addressing that legal issue themselves, or they may want something very, very simple. So it's more about the delivery method and how we write the content. I think it's important that we have to make sure, and this really took us a long time to get right, that the way we write the content is accessible, so that whether you're somebody who's starting a business for the first time, or whether you're long in the tooth, seasoned general counsel, you can understand what we're suggesting you do.
Good, and I think what you're raising here is disruption to the legal profession, to advisor sort of type profession, as you touched on earlier. As a customer, we want to be paying for you to be doing our research or to regenerating sort of documents. So what do you see as the role of the lawyers and advisors now and into the future?
Well, I think there's always going to be a place for bespoke advice. I think good lawyers in the right situation provide an invaluable service to their clients. So where you need bespoke advice or you need tactical advice, there's always going to be a need to have a good advisor to help you. I think technology is going to change the market. I don't know whether it describes a disruption or an evolution, because I think a lot of these things actually assist the lawyer as well. I think from a lawyer's point of view, one of the issues that you have and why high hourly rates exist is because you have all of this information in your head and all this knowledge, and you can only monetize it when somebody comes and asks you the question. Mm-hmm. And actually, I think that technology not only offers the opportunity for the consumer to access information quicker, cheaper, and so forth, but also for the lawyer who has the information to monetize it better. So instead of just, you can only advise one client at a time, but if you place information in a central service, why can you not monetize that sort of 24/7? So I think technology is going to affect us in probably four ways. I think firstly, and this is already happening quite a lot, eliminating of inefficiencies in administrative work, if I put it like that, many lawyers do. So that's sort of document reviews, e-disclosure, that sort of thing, where in reality a machine is going to be able to do that better than a human. And one of the reasons why legal fees can be quite expensive is that at the moment the hourly rate you pay your lawyer is not just for the advice they give you, it's for checking documents and ordering documents and so forth. And I think that is already being taken over by technology, and there are lots of exciting businesses out there applying AI techniques to compare documents and all that sort of stuff. I think the second impact will be giving everybody, so clients and lawyers, access to up-to-date and reliable legal information. So if you think about the concept of a textbook, a textbook is only accurate the day it's written. By the time it's gone to print and gone into the bookshop and been sold, it's already probably out of date. And as most textbooks are only written every 2 or 3 years, the reality is if you go to a textbook you can't be sure that it's up to date, whereas as soon as you go to an online product, provided that it is updated in actual fact, it's much, much quicker and easier to do. So I think what you'll get is up-to-date, reliable legal information online, That can be accessed easily. You don't have to go to the library to get the book. You don't have to go into your office to get your book. You can access it on your phone if necessary. So that's going to be important. I think thirdly, also, it goes back to the point I raised a bit earlier, if you've got a legal question, ideally you want to speak to the person who knows the answer. And I think online platforms will develop so that where you need a lawyer, you will be able to access the right person. And it goes back to the point I made about lawyers monetizing their knowledge a little bit more easily. Looking at it from the point of view of the lawyer, got all this information in their heads, and probably each day there are, for argument's sake, 10 people who want that information, but they don't come and knock at your door. They might well go somewhere else. Mm-hmm. So I think introducing that platform that enables the right the client to find the right person to answer their question will be important. And I think last but not least, general technology developments are going to free up lawyers to work more efficiently and on their own account. I think we're going to see a lot more people going freelance. At the moment, it's quite difficult because if you want to work on your own account, how do you source the work? How do you source the knowledge to keep up to date? All that sort of stuff. I think we're seeing it with things like Slack and from counsel and things like that are going to make it much easier for somebody who wants to work flexibly. So somebody who's practiced for a few years and says, well, actually, I want to work 3 days a week because I want to spend, I'm bringing up children, or I want to surf for 6 months of the year and work for 6 months of the year. I think that will become possible. And then you'll have clients who will say, well, I can access most of my legal needs from a subscription service, but when I need a human, I'm actually going to go onto this platform and find somebody who can do it on a freelance basis. And clearly, somebody working on a freelance basis is not going to have the overheads of a big law firm, and therefore that will bring costs down.
Mm. Good. And so what do you see as the biggest sort of opportunities for the new tech then in the impacting this sort of legal support, just to summarise that?
Well, I think the really long term interesting product is going to be how AI, machine learning, all that sort of stuff impacts upon finding illegal information. Because if you think about this initial stage being bringing together the knowledge of the key lawyers into a single place, in due course, as that is built out to include questions as they arise and are asked by clients, you're going to build this fantastic corpus of data, which ultimately I think the ideal position will be where a lot of answers can be auto-generated by AI techniques. So I always think really it's a really efficiency and accessibility. Technology should drive down the cost of getting legal advice and also the cost of the lawyer of providing it. And where a legal issue is non-bespoke, a client ought to be able to access that guidance immediately and at low cost. Significant legal fees should only be incurred by clients where something is genuinely bespoke or requires determination by court. And I think probably you raised this a little bit earlier, how we pay for legal services, the metering, the hourly rate process, I think its days are numbered, at least for lots of legal work. I think, as I say, when you need a particular expert to help you on a bespoke basis, I can see you being prepared to pay by the hour. But I think the introduction of subscription services, and also pay as you go, so if you don't want to sign up to a service like Spark or something else, or from council or another service on a subscription basis, you can just dive into it for one day or to answer one particular issue and pay as you go. I know, as you'll see from I mentioned earlier, some of our board that come from a sort of telecoms background, of course, pay as you go is something that they found revitalised their industry. So we think that it can also operate here. I just want that single document. I don't want to pay a subscription. That will be interesting. So it really comes down to bespoke advice will always need a lawyer, but for everything else, really a subscription service ought to be able to provide a solution for a client.
Great, Andrew. Thanks very much for a fascinating overview in terms of your background and what's driving change and technology within the legal, and then, of course, the impact to businesses. But what do you do to relax when you're not pushing forward on a lot of these areas?
Well, for the last few years, actually, running the businesses has been my hobby because I still practice full time. I've got a young daughter and another one on the way, so that also takes all my spare time. And when I get the chance, I still go up to Anfield to watch Liverpool. Unfortunately, this season, I haven't been up there. The one season where it might all turn out
right. Yeah, is that an omen? You should stay away more.
I grew up at a time where they were the preeminent team, and for the last few years, I've been dragging up my partner, and she's just seen them sort of do quite well, but not quite get where they need to get. And this year, it might well be the year. So, hopefully, I'll have a couple of trips up there towards the end of the season to celebrate the win in the Premier League.
Very good. Thanks very much for your insights today, Andrew. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Andrew.
Do subscribe to our podcasts on iTunes, and please do give us a 5-star like and share with your colleagues. Thank you.